This is WGXC 90.7 from the Hudson Studio in New York. I'm Nancy Marin, your host for the Social Graces Program. The Social Graces Program covers all things pertaining to etiquette, manners, and protocol. My guest today is Maya Green. Maya's the Assistant Professor of Communication Studies at Columbia Green Community College. And if I went through her entire bio, it would take up the entire program. So I'm skipping a lot of things, but she has her master's in communication theory from University of Arkansas. Was that in Fayetteville?
Yes, in Fayetteville.
Both of my brothers graduated there.
Oh, no kidding. It's a great little town.
Yes, it is. Maya has spent time in Thailand teaching English as a foreign language. Maya, please tell us what your curriculum consists of at Columbia Green Community College.
Well, first, Nan, thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
I'm excited to talk about communication. So I teach primarily communication classes at Columbia Green in addition to some English composition courses and sociology. But my communication curriculum consists of interpersonal communication, which is human-to-human, improving relationships, listening skills, speaking skills, nonverbal skills. I also teach intercultural communication, which takes all of those practices and applies them to a global setting. Public speaking, which is self-explanatory, and most people have that same look on their face, one of fear with public speaking. I teach a class called digital communication, which takes the principles of human-to-human interaction and applies them to digital context, so how best to be professional in a digital setting. And media and society, which is one of my favorites. We pick apart the media and think critically about it and have a lot of fun doing so.
Well, as far as your public speaking, have you ever thought about maybe offering that as a non-credit course?
Actually, I have been approached about doing so, and so I've considered pulling an abbreviated version together as a non-credit.
I would attend that.
Okay, great.
Yes.
I'll put a little more thought
and
into it then.
Probably my daughter, too. So I thought today we would talk about how to talk to anyone with there's a saying that there are two kinds of people in this life. Those who walk into a room and say, well, here I am. And those who walk into the room and say, ah, there you are. I like that.
I like that
you?
Too, yeah.
So to make people feel good and at ease, you have to get them talking, of course.
Of course.
And when you've, never met this person before, and it might be a group of four or five people, and you walk into the group and try and get into the talk, whatever they're talking about, it's kind of hard for people. I'd say most people have trouble doing that, when they don't know anyone, and they're nervous, and sometimes they just go on the side of the wall and stand there with their drink or something, and they really have a hard time at it.
Sure. I think there are more wallflowers than there are those sort of gregarious, outgoing, mm-hmm. talkative people, and it can feel intimidating to some people to be in a situation like at a large event, a conference, or even a family event, a wedding or graduation, and if you don't know a lot of people, it can feel overwhelming. How do I break into that conversation? How do I chat people up? How do I get to know people when you don't even know where to begin?
Yes, because, you can always, your first step would be hold out your hand and shake hands and say, hi, I'm Bob Jones or something.
Sure.
But sometimes after that, you don't know what to say.
Yeah, where do we go next?
Yeah, one of the things that I wanted to talk about today is not necessarily always asking the person, where do you work or mm-hmm. what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
The better thing would be to say, what do you do with your time?
Yes, I agree. I think that the most common question that people ask and are asked is, what do you do? And gosh, where do we even begin to start answering that question? Usually we respond with, our career or
yes.
What we do for work. And, for a lot of people, that's just not the most exciting part of our lives. And instead, we focus on something that we're maybe not passionate about. Oh, I work here, or I do this. And so we can't avoid being asked that question. when we are asked that question, how we respond can make a huge difference to the direction that the conversation takes. And to begin with, you know, focusing on the negative, if you don't like your job, is the worst direction you can pull that conversation. And so you can respond with, you know, well, I work here and I do this for work, but what I love to do or how I love to spend my time is gardening or spending time with my family, or I'm a crafter, or I love to write, or I love to sing, or whatever it is you love to do. And suddenly you've changed the nature of the conversation from that stock kind of, I do this and I work here and, you know, day to day stuff, to something that's a little more fun for the other person to listen to. And so as a person who is maybe in a position to change the direction of a conversation by asking the question, you're absolutely right. Instead of saying, well, what do you do or where do you work, saying, how do you spend your time? You might get somebody who says, oh, well, I work here and I do this. Then you can still change the direction of the conversation. Well, do you like what you do? And how do you spend your time? What's your favorite thing to do at work?
Do you travel? Do you,
yeah, exactly. You know, yep.
It could lead into other things.
Absolutely.
There's this thing that's called parroting.
Yes.
And we were talking about this out in the hallway. And could you explain, like, what that is?
Sure. Well, it's almost exactly like it sounds. When you think of a parrot will repeat back words that their human taught them or that they picked up. And so in a conversation, parroting is it's sort of a passive listening response. I like to think of it almost like when you're a child and your mother's scolding you and saying, you know, take out the trash and do the dishes and do all of these things. And then she says, you're not even listening to me. And you say, sure I am. And you repeat back the last three things that your mom said to you. It doesn't take a lot of active listening to do that kind of parroting, because you can hear what the person has said without necessarily translating it or interpreting it. So while paraphrasing does show that you heard what the person has said, to show that you really were listening and that you understood and interpreted what they said, a paraphrase is an even better response. So let's say that, you know, you and I had met at a conference or at a cocktail party or something to that effect, and we were chatting about what you like to do with your time, and you told me that, you know, you're interested in crafting or gardening or spending time with grandchildren or whatever it is that you like to do. I could parrot back what you just said and said, oh, so it sounds like you like to craft and garden and spend time with your grandchildren. And you might look at me like, well, yeah, I just said that. A paraphrase, though, will sort of give my own spin to it to show that I really did listen, and it might involve asking more questions about those things. Or, oh, you said you like to craft. Well, what is it that you like to make? Are you into jewelry, or do you like to draw? Or, you know, tell me about your grandkids. It sounds like they make you really happy. Stuff like that. So paraphrasing shows more active listening. And I think that when we're talking about how to talk to anyone, what that leaves out automatically is that talking isn't just about talking. It's also about listening. And when we really listen to what people have to say, instead of thinking about what we're going to say next or in response, then we are opening a door to a conversation that may not have otherwise have taken place. My mom always said, and maybe this is why I got into studying communication, but she always said, you know, everybody has a story and everybody wants the opportunity to tell their story. And so sometimes all they need is somebody to listen to them and ask them questions. And there you go. You've got yourself a great conversation just in doing that.
And I was just thinking, when you got your master's in communication theory, how long was that degree? Was that 2 years?
It was a two-year degree. Yeah, I went full-time, so I got that done in 2 years.
Okay. So the parroting thing and then the paraphrasing, they are different.
They are, yeah, and it really just comes down to how well you listened, and whether you were able to make sense of what they said instead of just showing that you heard the words.
Yeah, like if this is another thing I wanted to talk about. There are people basically like me that I could be out at a ball game and never met these people, and have no problem chatting with them and talking to them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, by the time the game's over, you've maybe exchanged phone numbers or something.
Yeah.
But if they know that a convention's coming up for their work and, you know, they're going to be it's a whole lot of people there, they get anxiety over that, where you could talk easily with someone you've never met.
Sure.
Just walking on the street, you know. Oh, I like those boots. Oh, I got them there. Da, 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 da.
Yeah.
But if they know that they're going to be put in that position, it's not... they know that they're going to be in there and have to talk and converse mm-hmm. with people and not just about what you're there for.
Mm-hmm.
Because the conventions, a lot of conventions are for some fun, too.
Sure.
You know, having dinners and drinks.
Absolutely.
And I've had
some fun at conventions
sure.
myself.
So there's those kind of people, too, that...
Well, and I think that one of the things that comes up, there's two things that come up with that. One is the apprehension and anxiety around... knowing in advance that
yes,
you're going to have
exactly.
these conversations. And sometimes the fear of knowing that in advance can be crippling, where as if it just happens on the spur of the moment, then you don't have time to become anxious. I also think that, and this is not true for everyone or every circumstance, or if we're talking about a convention, for instance, that there's the anxiety around we're gathering around work and professionalism, and it becomes this forced networking
yes.
situation where people
yes,
can
exactly.
feel really nervous around, oh, I have to network and I have to make these connections for my work, for my career. This could make or break my future. That kind of pressure can
mm-hmm.
be really overwhelming. Whereas when you're at a baseball game, when you're at a cocktail party, you're not really worried. You're not thinking, okay, this is networking that could make or break my career. You're just thinking, I'm going to go have a drink, or I'm going to
yes.
watch a ball game, or I'm going to meet somebody on the street. The bottom line is that the conversations can be exactly the same. And you mentioned something, bumping into somebody on the street and saying, hey, I really like those boots. I think for me, a compliment is one of the best ways to start a conversation.
A segue into, yes,
it
I
really
like
is.
Your tie.
Exactly.
You know.
Or even more specific, the color of your tie really brings out the color of your eyes. Or, oh, you know, that's a great color on you. It complements your skin tone. Or, you know, that being specific about a compliment can, it makes people feel good, first
mm-hmm.
of all. Who doesn't love to be complimented?
Yes.
And even if they get a little embarrassed about it. But it starts that conversation. It breaks the ice. It builds rapport. And those all can be great ways to get a ball rolling
mm-hmm.
in a conversation.
And what would you do about the type of person that dominates the whole? How do you stop them or pause? Can you pause for a minute? Which you're not going to say that. And you're just standing there, and they're going on and not giving anyone else in the circle they can't say a thing.
It's a tough one to deal with them, because some people are open to being somehow like the interjection or breaking into the conversation, and some people don't even realize that they are dominating and they're not open to first of all nonverbal signs that you can give to somebody, like even if you just sort of make eye contact and look like you're trying to speak, that somebody might recognize that and say, I'm sorry, I'm dominating the conversation, and allow you to speak.
Yes, yes, please say what you want to say now.
Yeah, but, you know, some people don't even realize that you're doing that. So I like to take sort of a multi-tiered approach, where I'll start with some delicate nonverbals, like that look, like I have something to say and I'm ready to interject, and I wanna...
How about yawning?
Well...
I'm kidding.
If it goes on long enough, yes. But if the nonverbals aren't being recognized, then sometimes you just have to be kind of forceful. And if they're constantly dominating the conversation, then you just have to break in there.
Yeah.
And I hate to be an interrupter, but if somebody's not allowing me to talk, sometimes I'll interrupt and completely change the conversation, because... otherwise
it's gone on and on and on.
It has. And otherwise it's going to continue to be about what they're talking about. So I'll either turn it around and make it, if it's just two of us in a conversation, I'll interject and say, and I love to use a nonverbal gesture with it too. So I'm going to do it right now. If you're speaking, I'll put my hand on your hand. And I'll say, "Oh my gosh, I forgot to tell you."
Oh, that's a great idea.
And I'll kind of stop what they're doing and turn it into something completely. And it doesn't even matter what it was. I bumped into so and so the other day.
Yeah.
Or, "Oh, have you heard the new song by? Or have you seen this movie? Or did you hear that this new restaurant is open?" Doesn't matter what it is. Just
something
stop
to get
them.
Him. Yeah. And another thing you could say is, "Oh, wait a minute, because, you know, I'll probably forget this, so let me interject."
Exactly.
Because I'll forget my train of thought.
Yes.
Right?
I do that too.
Yeah.
But I can't stress enough that sometimes a small touch, if you're comfortable in that situation.
That would be.
If it's a friend. If it's a stranger, maybe not
so
much.
No, even then, they've gone on and on.
Yeah, a small touch on the hand or the arm and that genuine look of surprise, like, "Oh, I forgot," or "If I don't say this now, I will forget," that you can use that interruption and hopefully stop them and then quickly change the subject to something
yes.
else.
And if you're in a group of, let's say, five, and someone's dominating the whole conversation, you can also, you can't just turn around and walk away and go to the bar or to another
group.
Well,
you can, but it might be a little rude.
But that's kind of rude.
You exactly.
That's my whole point.
Yeah.
You wouldn't do that.
No.
If you want to get out of that situation, you can always say, "Excuse me, please." They don't have to know that you're needing to go to the ladies' room or the men's room. You don't have to announce that.
Right.
Or you're going to get another drink at the bar. You just saw your friend over there. You don't have to explain. Just say, "Please excuse me."
Exactly.
It can be that simple.
It really can. And I think people think that they need to come up with some sort of an elaborate escape plan. They look at their cell phone and pretend they got a text.
Yeah.
Or they'll look at their watch. Or they'll see an imaginary person across the room and wave at them and go, you know. It doesn't need to be that complicated. And a simple "excuse me" is really all it takes.
Here's a saying for you. When you first meet someone, lock your closet door and save your skeletons for later. Because I know a lot of people that I've met, I have never met these people in the whole entire world. And if they really connect with you, they'll start getting into, you know, "I've been married four times. When I was a teenager, I robbed a bank," you know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I do.
So when you're out and you really don't know these people, you may feel like you have a kinship with them even though you just met.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not a good idea to you know, get the skeletons out of the closet.
Absolutely.
Leave them in the closet, correct?
Correct, yeah. The process of self-disclosure, which is exactly what you're talking about, it runs a long gamut between me just saying something as simple as, you know, "Well, I'm a professor of communication." If you didn't already know that about me, then that's self-disclosure. But it's mild and it's appropriate to meeting someone.
I don't see
versus,
a problem with that.
No, there is no problem with that.
Yeah.
Versus somebody who says, "Oh, you know, I cheated on my taxes last year and I sell drugs to make ends meet." Yeah, that's really inappropriate stuff to share. I don't, by the way. That was just
have
a hypothetical example.
You've experienced that,
oh,
though,
absolutely.
Haven't you? Where they just divulge everything,
yes.
like from their past,
yes.
and you're thinking, "You don't even know me."
Well, and especially because of what I do, I have students sometimes think that because I'm teaching them how to improve communication, that suddenly I'm like a therapist.
Oh.
And so I have to be very clear about the lines there. I think when a person naturally is a good listener and they communicate well, that people mistake that sense of interest or just natural conversationalism for tell you my deepest, darkest secrets.
You're their best friend right now.
Exactly.
At the moment.
And that's not the case.
No.
And particularly in a situation where you're captive in line at a grocery store next to somebody on an airplane or a train.
Mm.
These situations can be very awkward and difficult to deal with.
A lot of people tend to do that.
Yes.
I remember not too long ago, this guy I sat by, we were flying into Albany, so we were both, you know, from the area.
Mm-hmm.
And he went on and on about his kids and his wife, and, you know, some of it wasn't good stuff. And I thought, I'm never going to see you again. You don't even know my name.
Yeah.
It's just bizarre, isn't it?
Well, and I think, I always wonder if these people are more apt to share because they don't know you. And there's a freedom in that versus if they did know somebody that maybe they would tell you things that they wouldn't tell their friends or their family.
Yeah, they wouldn't want them to know.
Exactly.
So it's kind of like getting it off their chest.
Yeah, there's a catharsis maybe to sharing things. It's why people
never thought of that.
Talk to bartenders or...
barber.
Right, exactly.
Or
your hairdresser
lady,
or something.
Yes,
yeah.
Cutting your hair.
Yeah, there's, you know, sort of that freedom of, well, they don't really care. They don't... But on the other side of that conversation is the person who has to listen to the oversharing. And that can be a little awkward for some people.
So do you have any other suggestions for people that are extremely shy? How to get through? Because you can't live in a shell. You know, if you're invited to a wedding or a party and you know, some people just, they don't know what to do with themselves and they get a lot of anxiety. What would your tips, major tips be for these poor souls?
I think that the best thing that you can do, well, there's a few things that you can do. If you're incredibly shy, my recommendation is, especially at a party or an event where you have the freedom to show up a little bit early, being there before the crowds arrive, and especially if you are friends with the host or you have somebody who might be able to put you to work a little bit, like for instance helping pick out music or
in the kitchen or
helping
the food
exactly
out.
Helping with coats, things like that, that anything like that can suddenly give you a sense of purpose in those situations, so you're not just walking into a crowded space and then feeling awkward and standing around in the corner. So showing up early is a great way to start the evening or the event off correctly. Also, prepare yourself. Have a few stories. Have a few things that you know you can talk about without it being, again, one of those oversharing senses of self-disclosure.
Well, what about the headlines of the day?
Absolutely.
Don't leave home without it. I write it right here.
Right.
If you're going, at least something to start the conversation.
Yes.
Or if you're joining a little group of people sitting at a table and they're talking about the latest news, you would want to know about it too.
Yes. So arm yourself with some knowledge on current events, and if you can find out something that's beyond just the headline, something as a little tidbit of a detail, then if you overhear people talking about it, you can interject and say, "And did you hear that?" And add that little tidbit. And a few people won't have heard it. They'll have only heard the headline, and they'll say, "Wow, I didn't know that." And suddenly you're a part of the conversation.
Yes.
So that can really.
That's a great idea.
It really is. It means you have to work a little harder to do, you know, you do the research in advance, but it pays off in the long run because suddenly you feel more knowledgeable and more comfortable.
Yeah, the latest news, don't leave home without it. Anything that's happened recently is good material.
Absolutely.
Right.
But you want to be, you want to have a varied sort of grab bag, if you will. Not all pop culture,
not all doom and gloom.
Definitely not.
No, not at a party.
Especially human interest stories, things that are really kind of fun and interesting. Those go over really, really well.
Yeah, the lady that had quintuplets
exactly,
or something.
Exactly.
Something fun.
Yeah.
Not a downer.
No, we don't want to do the downer. We want to do something that's more fun and that will make people laugh and smile.
Yeah. Well, I have... so enjoyed you being here.
Well, thanks. I
you
appreciate
you. You're a wonderful guest, and I will probably have you back again.
I will come back anytime.
Because there's
be
much
pleasure.
More to talk
there
about.
There sure is. Time flew.
Thank you very much, Maya.
You're welcome, Nan.